The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley.
Welcome. What are you doing? I usually
and
start
good morning.
The show.
I know, because you pointed at me twice.
Oh, I was just saying you're the man.
Well, you bothered me because I was sitting here, and I looking at some of the replay of last night's Emmy Awards.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. You and I are enthralled with the Emmys.
I'm just enthralled. I mean, I can't, the Emmys and the Tonys every year.
Oh, every year.
Every year.
I still have leftover food from my Emmys party.
I don't get my sleep.
Yeah, no. No, that's what I miss. I miss sleep for the Emmys.
And if you didn't see it, I mean, this is one of the highlights.
We just want to say a quick hello to the thousands of you here in the audience tonight and to the hundreds watching at home. Hi, Silver Lining Senior Center.
You know who's not? But my mother's not watching.
What?
Well, she said she doesn't like watching white award shows because you guys don't thank Jesus enough. That's true. The only white people that thank Jesus are Republicans and ex-crackheads. So.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not sure I got the joke.
It's not even funny. That's the whole point. It's, yeah. So there you go. And
we sure it was supposed to be a joke?
I don't know. It's how useless.
I don't know. But congratulations to all the winners. They are well deserved.
Well, I don't even know. I haven't seen it yet. Has the accusation, but that the Emmys were too white?
Yes.
Did that hit again?
I do know that Charlie Rose won the best Emmy for best daytime pantless talk show. He won that one. Congratulations, Charlie. See, you don't have to wear pants to be a winner. Charlie Rose has proven that.
Nah, I didn't watch. We got a good show ahead.
Yeah, we do?
Yeah.
Is it Emmy Award winning?
It's the Emmy Award. The Emmy Award
it's
winning.
It's not on television.
Red Eye Radio.
But somehow we'll fake an Emmy. Look, if Bill Clinton can get a Grammy, spoken word, you mean talking? Spoken. Best spoken word. Depends on what the meaning of is. Give me a break. You mean they were reading their own book out loud and they got a Grammy for it?
Now, this was good, though. I mean, because they did start off by saying the thousands of people here and the hundreds watching. That was actually funny.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I will say that. That was actually
funny.
All right, we got a great show ahead coming up here. Kavanaugh and the accuser to go under oath. Mm. It'll be an interesting Monday next Monday. Mm-hmm. Trump declassifies application for the Carter Page FISA warrant and other classified materials. And we will go through each and every one of the Democrat objections.
Okay.
Just to show you that they don't have a clue. And thank you to the people that, let us know yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Before I even knew that he declassified it, I saw some of the responses saying, wow, you guys have been telling him to do it for months. That's true. Now,
I think we even said it yesterday. Yesterday, of course, before he announced it, last night's show, we talked about it. And that it's the only way we're going to get to the truth.
Right. Democrats don't want the truth.
No. They haven't been calling for this.
Adam Schiff does not want the truth.
No.
Any Democrat, and I challenge any Democrat to tell me that they want the truth.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
I don't know what's in the memos.
I don't either.
And as we've said before, if Adam Schiff, well, this is, the best thing is, and this is the key to it. As you know, the motto of the show, if the two idiots overnight can understand it, so can you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not really putting us high up on a pedestal anywhere. This stuff isn't...
It's bringing everybody else down to our level.
Right, exactly. the whole point is these people aren't as smart as they think they are.
Right.
And a lot of you, and I'll even say me, when I was younger, especially when we're younger, tend to think they are. Oh, they're in government. They're smart. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got the arguments. No, they don't.
No.
Well, they went to an Ivy League college. Doesn't matter. None of it matters.
Nope.
What matters is the substance of their ideas and can they explain it. And when Adam Schiff came out with the argument, we said he would come out with.
Yeah.
Which was, well, this is interfering in the investigation. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Actually, it opens up the investigation.
Right.
First of all, it's separate from Mueller's investigation.
Right. There's more than one investigation going on. Government isn't set up just one way to have one investigation by a special counsel.
In fact, I would say that Adam Schiff may be telling us something about, because I know nothing about Mueller's investigation except for who he's indicted, right? We don't know anything else about what Mueller
about
is looking into.
No.
So why is Adam Schiff outing Robert Mueller and the information? This is something separate. This is an oversight investigation.
Right. It has nothing to do with the Robert Mueller investigation. That's a separate investigation. The Robert Mueller investigation is not at all, if you're a Democrat, tainted at all by this.
No, it is
not. And if you were, and Eric, I thought you brought up one of the greatest points.
Mm.
And it really hurts me to say that.
Mm.
Really hurts.
It pains you.
Pains me.
That's good acting, though.
In fact,
you deserve an Emmy.
It pains me so much.
Mm-hmm.
That I really don't care about you or anybody else, and I may walk off halfway through the show.
You may quit at the halftime?
I may just quit right at halftime of the show. I may just walk right out.
It's what people in Buffalo do.
Exactly. We quit. We just walk out. We quit.
Finish half a steak. I got to go. Sir, you haven't touched your potatoes. I'm done.
No, I forgot what you said in the pre-show.
I have no idea.
No.
What?
No, I completely forgot.
I mean, there was a lot of things.
It's my own fault.
Yeah, I don't know. About Adam Schiff. Well, it was the assessment of, okay, if you look at because we know what the argument is. The president declassifying the information, the argument is exactly what Adam Schiff is saying. It is interfering. I'm sure somebody will use the word obstruction at some point. But the fact of the matter is this. If you're one of those who believes that Trump and or someone in his campaign or administration is guilty of working with the Russians, then you believe that Mueller and Comey, specifically, really Mueller's out of this, but Comey, because these will be some of the text messages. Part of what will be classified will be the text messages between Peter Strzok and James Comey. These interdepartment exchanges that they had about the investigation. If you believe all along that Strzok was onto something, remember how much money he raised
from
his GoFundMe.
That was the point I was going to make when you
because
made that point in our pre-show meeting. Yeah.
That says what? That we believe he's a hero and that the president is trying to silence him by firing him. Well, then this will show that he was onto something. This will prove you right.
Right. In fact, you should be calling for more transparency.
Yes. In fact, which is what you followed up with in our conversation off the air. And that was, all right, fine. You should be begging for more. If you're not happy with everything that comes out, then you, if you're, again, one of those who believes Trump was guilty and that Strzok was right, that Comey was right, that Mueller is right, then you must call for more transparency, not
right.
less transparency.
Right.
So you should applaud this. And if it doesn't satisfy the need, if it doesn't satisfy, I guess, or meet your standard for transparency, then call for more. We applaud that. We're with you.
That should be your only concern right now. If you believe that Comey, Strzok, Lisa Page, McCabe, if you believe that they were all doing their job and that they had something against Trump, your only argument now, right now, should be they need to declassify a lot more.
Yep.
To put it, if you come out I will respect you if you come out and say, well, I think the president and the Republicans should release more.
Yes.
At least you have a point that you can defend. Any
right.
other point is garbage.
Because if you're saying this should never have been released by the time we see whatever is in this, because, again, we don't know. We have no idea if this is going to vindicate the president, if this is going to open everything up and hurt the Democrats as opposed to the administration or somebody in the campaign or
I
formerly
don't know.
Associated with the campaign. I have
don't know
no
what's
idea.
In it. I don't know what the Mueller investigation is.
I have no idea.
Here.
I have no idea. Transparency, it's the only thing. It's the only thing that will get us there. Because if you believe that Trump is guilty and you still believe this, that Trump is guilty, someone in his campaign was guilty, or a group of people were guilty and they worked with the Russians and they were trying to, or they were successful in rigging the election and changing the votes and all of that, then what this comes down to is that you must believe that this evidence is going to show that. And we're talking about the reason we want it open to the public is because that's where the political pressure comes from. So if you're right and the president is guilty and someone in his campaign is guilty, working with the Russians and all of that, then this will be a fast road to removing him from office. You get the win. If the other side is right and it shows a massive abuse of power by the former administration, there's nothing you can change to, nothing you can do to change that, and you can't reverse that. You can't go back in time and change what they did. And frankly, unless you're one of those that were part of this, you're not responsible for that.
Well, as we said all along, there's two possibilities, right? From the very beginning, there's been two possibilities. That Trump colluded with the Russians to hack election machines.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened, I wish to know that, and I believe all the American people should know it.
We have an election coming up in a matter of weeks.
Right. If it was the Obama administration and law enforcement inside the highest levels of federal law enforcement that attempted, after the DNC and Hillary Clinton colluded with the Russians, and we know that whole thing,
mm-hmm.
giving the money to Perkins Coie, who gave it to Fusion GPS, who gave it to the former spy Christopher Steele, who got information from the Russians close to the Kremlin to use against Trump to destroy his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
If that information was used by the previous administration and by law enforcement to spy on the opposition candidate, and it was a bogus warrant, and then it was used to listen in on what was going on in the other campaign because all the unmasking, which we still don't know about.
Right.
Which that has, you know, that really has not progressed further. We know it happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know why. But if that happened and a bogus that the Obama administration, and we already know they were rebuked by the FISA court for violating the rights of Americans. We know that. The Obama administration was. But if the Obama administration was doing that, you should know that. Either way, the American public should know it, because either one is unacceptable. Now, what we know is there is zero evidence that has been presented. Zero, not forget about evidence, zero allegations before you even get to any evidence. The Donald Trump colluding with the Russians right now is right after over 2 years of investigation, is right now at not even the Kavanaugh stage.
Right.
Because there isn't even yet a specific allegation of wrongdoing.
That's a great point. There's not one specific allegation.
You can't say that for the Hillary campaign, the DNC colluding with the Russians, and the politicalization of the federal law enforcement agencies in the country. There's more evidence, mm-hmm. there's allegations, and there's specific evidence that exists that gives you probable cause to believe that a lot of wrong things were done.
And, you know, frankly, you know, to our friends on the far left, and I know they're probably not listening very closely, but there is no loyalty on the left. Can we acknowledge that fact right now, especially with the far left and the Democratic Party? There is no real loyalty. I mean, Ocasio-Cortez has been said, you know, she's been called the future of the party. But let's face it, there really is, because you're so fragmented, there really is no loyalty. So what do you care about what the past administration might have done? Wouldn't you want them called out for it? Wouldn't you want them called to the carpet if they knowingly used false information to get a secret warrant on the political opposition's campaign?
Democrats used to care about that. We got a great show ahead. If you'd like to get in, lines open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So also coming up on the show, Kavanaugh and the accuser to go under oath. Kavanaugh's ex-girlfriends say they know of no such house where a party was even held like that.
Right, based on its description.
Right, a pool house near the club, and we don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
No idea what that is. More tariffs on the way. Coke eyes a cannabis drink.
That's interesting.
They're eyeing the cannabis drink market for, like, Canada.
Wow. Well, I mean, could a Coca-Cola in the States, could a brand like that, if you think about like the edibles brands, from what I know, they're not the major, you know, manufacturers like a Coca-Cola, right? So
right.
Could they in the U.S., could a brand like that put out a cannabis drink in California? I mean, obviously, it would have to be sold at the licensed facilities. But, you know, could they do that without hurting the brand? You think of Elon Musk smoking pot during a podcast recently, and everybody go, wow, oh, my gosh, he smoked pot. But it was, as far as I know, from where the podcast is done, it's legal there. But everybody was freaking out because here's the CEO of a major company, and he's smoking it openly and...
Well, he got up to space before anybody else did. But what, you know, my question, a big corporation like that, how do you keep the money separate?
Yeah. Maybe that's why it's only going to be in Canada, because you can't do anything with the money.
How would you keep that?
Well, you would, I mean, the only way you can do it is the way that they're doing it now, and you'd have to keep it within the state. And you can't put it in a bank that is insured by the FDIC. You can't move it.
And if you have your Canadian subsidiary, that money has to stay up there. If you wire transfer that money back to the States.
No, you can't. With current law, you cannot.
So we'll get to that. The football ratings are in for Sunday night. The headline reads, mysterious FBI investigation of Sunspot Observatory is finally explained. You hear that story?
Yeah.
But it really wasn't explained yet. They say it was criminal activity, but they won't say what it is. I go, well, then it's not explained. You have to explain what the criminal activity is. Otherwise, it's aliens.
Right. It's always aliens. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
Most of our professional drivers and truckers know that we have major road concerns in terms of flooding and closures in portions of the Mid-Atlantic. If you're a motorist not often through the Carolinas, do remember I-40 from Raleigh southeast, I-95, I-85 north and south, you could run into road closures. And on most state roads in North Carolina and South Carolina in the Lowcountry, you will run into road closures due to flooding. Rains continued today from the remnants of Florence, mainly on the western side of the Appalachians and the Great Smokies. That system, as it remains, will be moving up through West Virginia, portions of southwest and northern Virginia into D.C., and then Jersey and New York City. And with the exception of some light rain from Des Moines to Milwaukee today, most of the country will remain dry. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
For those not on Ambien, there's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Sorry we were talking off the air.
Yeah, listen, keep yourselves busy when we're doing that, okay?
Blah, 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 blah.
I know.
How dare the show interrupt our conversation?
Yes, we're trying to discuss things. We're very important people.
At least we think we are.
Yeah, I'd like to think we are.
This is one of the days, and I thought about this when I woke up. I said, I don't know where to start. So we just started. We're already halfway into the show.
Yeah.
But still, I was just thinking as, you know, we were coming back, I'm like, okay, there's so much.
Well, because it's kind of all over the place. What you and I were discussing in the pre-show meeting is how there was kind of a lack of coverage so far. And there may be, it will likely be more. It depends on what comes out from the declassified documents. The media that's been carrying the narrative that, you know, that this is that the Russians and the Trump campaign colluded, they've been carrying this for well over a year and a half now. And what you saw today so far is either a cautious approach or an all-out ignoring it altogether. Because it doesn't work for them. Keep in mind, they have invested heavily. Let's compare this to man-made global warming, all right? Man-made climate change. Companies, corporations have invested a ton of money into this as an imaging campaign. Not actually necessarily doing anything. I mean, we will give props to NBC Sports. They did turn the lights off at halftime for a few minutes. So there was that. But really, it's an imaging campaign. Well, this has been even more of an investment. You're talking about major media groups who are out to destroy and remove this president. This administration, politically, and this president, they want removed from office, gone. That is a bigger investment. So just know that ignoring this story is likely going to be part of it, at least at first. You and I had a suggestion for the administration, and that is tweet nothing else. Tweet nothing else. Because they seem to be, because if you give them nothing else, at some point they're going to have to quit ignoring you.
Well, I got a few people upset yesterday whenever you know, and we've been dealing with this for the last couple of years, mm-hmm. that you and I broke it down, the people that voted for Trump in the election. We basically came up with eight different demographics. Part of that demographic is the always Trumpers, which still exist today, which he can do no wrong ever. Well, right. Of course, that's stupid, because that's to believe that is when you get to political idolatry. Every president does things wrong.
Right.
And so whenever we criticize the president, which we believe we're criticizing because we look at the two different parties. The Republican Party, not a perfect party.
Right.
This president, not a perfect president. Compared to the alternative, it's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Do I want this president and the Republican Party, for as flawed as they are? Or do I want the political party that's talking about the things that, well, if you think you're a man, well, then you're a man, even if you're a woman. And if you wish to be black and you're white, or you're white and you wish to be black, well, that's okay, too.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of other issues out there, but really that gets you to the heart of the matter, because that's pure delusional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become institutional. That's not one person making misstatements or lying or whatever. That has become what the political party is about. The political party is about now sanctuary cities. That isn't an individual making a statement that might be incorrect or a lie or something that you would disagree with. That is a policy position of a political party.
Yep.
That we are going to, we believe that illegal immigrant criminals are more important than the safety and security of American citizens. When I look at all the flaws of Trump and all the flaws of the Republican Party, and I compare the two to the Democrats, it's a slam dunk. There is not even a close choice. But Trump is rude and crude. Absolutely, he can be rude and crude at times.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He's unfit for president. Don't know what that means. He was elected, so does he need to work out maybe a little bit? Yes, but he believes
right.
that's...
Lose a few pounds? Okay.
He believes that's wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, did I ever tell you I do like that?
Mm,
now,
what's that?
That explanation.
What? That losing weight is wasting time?
They say that the president believes that...
Exercising is wasting time.
It's wasting time from doing the more important things that you can do. Unfortunately, for me, I have health issues that make it so I must exercise.
Well, it's interesting because the president also believes sleep is wasting time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so it goes right along.
Don't. I disagree with the president on sleep and exercise.
Exactly.
I'm never going to vote for him again. Well, and so, you know, we deal with that, but when you look at the two political parties, it's like a huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, for all the faults of Trump and all the faults of the Republican Party, it's still a slam dunk. That being said, Trump is horrible at communicating.
Yes.
It worked for him in the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer campaigning. He's president of the United States.
Right.
And we believe that his message right now, all the way up to the midterms, and we believe starting today should be completely and totally focused on the issues of promoting his accomplishments
mm-hmm.
that he has done and getting very specifically and laser beam like on the specifics of the faults of the opposition party. Forget about anybody who's not important.
Right.
When the newspaper writer says something about you, you don't need to respond.
Move on.
The fact is, though, he's not going to do that. Two years in shows he's not going to do that. Therefore, we will still criticize him because we believe that his poll numbers could be higher if not for his horrible communications. And what we brought up yesterday when somebody said, well, the Republican Party and nobody's communicating right. And we said, well, that goes right to the president. Whether you like it or not, you can't say the president, when it comes to communications of the Republican Party, is both the victim and the leader.
Right.
Can't be both.
Well, and here's the difference, too. Remember the whole drain the swamp thing, because at first it was about the establishment Republicans, right? I think for some it still is. They still want some of the establishment gone. And, well, at least in the House, many of them will be. But what is the one way where the president can basically stand out from the party of the establishment, you know, the group of establishments on Capitol Hill? That is to promote the things he's done.
Yep.
Getting the corporate tax rate as low as he got it, and he got that. There's no other I'm convinced. I wouldn't have said this in 2016 before he was elected. In fact, I said it when they were working on taxes. There's no way they'll get it below 30. He did.
There is no other Republican who could have done that.
There's not one.
And again, why did he get that?
Because
the message was focused.
He is able to focus on the message. We know he can do it. Stay on it. And nothing else. If you want to win, I don't know about the midterms. You and I were going over the whole 538 thing. Right now it's 83% chance that the Democrats will take over the House.
Well, that's less than 95% that Hillary would win.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're saying they got a chance.
So you're saying they're going to lose. And you and I were kind of going over it, and I said, okay, this methodology is really odd because of the way they do this. They build essentially all the polls in all the districts, and they put them all together. And it's I don't know how precise it is. They may be right on. I don't know. But what I do know is that the president stands out from the party. Remember, it was a couple of weeks ago, and this didn't really, there was no traction on this story. Could the president win as an independent? And then it showed that there was a really good chance that he could. if he were to lead the Republican Party and essentially separate himself from that. You know, the his base has moved away from that part of the establishment for the most part. The drain the swamp being the establishment. Now it's more about the, you know, the corruption at the FBI or the Justice Department and other things. However, in 2020, there will be a need to some degree for him to stand out from the party itself. And this is the one thing he can do. I agree that the Republicans have had a horrible message. You and I have been screaming that for years. He's capable of doing things because of the things are capable of being focused on positive things because of what he has accomplished in the year and a half plus that he's been president. Let's face it. While Mitch McConnell was a help, Paul Ryan was a help to a certain extent, they wouldn't have gotten it done without the president. So he can set himself apart from that. He can stand out, and then that's when you become a true leader. When you say, look, we, and he'll say we, and that's fine. This is what we got done, and you push those numbers. You focus only on those positives. That's how he stands out from the establishment.
You know, something I noticed this on social media yesterday, I think that the whole Kavanaugh thing and the accusation against him is really bringing Republicans and circling the wagons around Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because I was amazed the number of never Trumpers out there who love Kavanaugh and think he's a great pick,
mm-hmm.
who otherwise criticize Trump all the time. I mean, they're
right.
they're conservative
right.
Republicans.
Right.
And they seem met a bunch of people again when I was on vacation, new people, especially when I was golfing,
mm-hmm.
and got the same thing from all of them,
right.
which was the same thing that the golfer said yesterday. Trump is the much better than the opposition.
Right.
Now we're seeing what the opposition is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that when you see the good things, because the never Trumpers try to make it seem like Trump never does anything good. And Kavanaugh, you know, his pick. Okay, well, that's great, but, you know, get lucky, whatever. Whatever their excuse would be for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you may have some conservatives or libertarians say, no, Kavanaugh is still part of the, you know, not an originalist and constructionist as we should have.
Right.
But the average conservative, even the average conservative never Trumper, likes Kavanaugh. I wonder how this will affect the election.
Mm.
Because there are many people, when you have a last-minute allegation like this, people don't like it.
Right.
And from what we see, as we know right now, there's no new information that came out yesterday, so it's going to be the allegation and nothing to corroborate it.
Right.
And that will tick people off, and I do think that that has a great possibility of uniting not only Trump supporters, but anybody who's tied into the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
because they see what the Democrats will do. And they look at Kavanaugh and they say, all right, this is a guy. He's not Trump. He was picked by Trump, but he's not Trump.
Right.
And
but this is what Trump can do.
This is what Trump can do. And they'll go after anything. And we believe that Kavanaugh is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that he would be a great judge. And they're doing this last minute. I got to stay with the Republicans.
I've got to
stay with Trump.
I think it's a solid theory, and you add that to the whole Lanny Davis thing. You know, for those that are paying attention, but keep in mind, Republicans and conservatives do pay attention.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, hang on. We'll get your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour. And plus, we'll get into what the president has declassified and the response from Democrats. Everything from Adam Schiff, President Trump, and a clear abuse of power.
Nope.
He didn't explain how that it's an abuse of power, though. But we will go through. But then we think it's important to tear apart all the Democrat arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead Democrat on this is Adam Schiff.
Right.
And it's exactly what we thought the arguments would be.
Well,
and we stated what the Democrats would say, and we have already defeated those arguments before they even said it. But now that they've said it, we'll defeat them again.
And ask yourself why Adam Schiff would be opposed to this. It's going to prove by his claims all along, it should prove something very quickly, and there should be enough political support to, if it doesn't happen before the midterm, maybe even sway some votes, because if Trump is guilty, sway some votes for the Senate in order to get enough votes to bring everything in the Trump administration down and remove Trump from office, right? Why is he objecting to this?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome. Good morning.
This hour for Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. You're singing.
Yeah, because I was just during the break, I was just doing some sciatic nerve
stretching.
Stretching, yes.
All right.
So,
and I on who?
On me.
Oh!
Yeah.
So just, okay.
I had a bad about 10 years ago, but I can feel it back in my leg again. So,
like yeah, the last I had couple it of once, weeks. At one point, I had it, and I really thought I wasn't going to be able to walk right again. And I went into the stretching routine. A dear friend of my wife's is a yoga instructor, a Bikram yoga instructor, and so she was showing me some moves. I stretched things I didn't know I had. So no, but it was really great. I still do a lot of that stretching just to make sure the sciatica doesn't come back.
Yeah, I have no choice.
Yeah.
So yeah. It for me it gets pretty bad. You know what really sets it off for me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yesterday was the fall fertilizer bug and fire ant killer on the lawn.
Ah, okay.
So had to go across the lawn really because of three different.
Or as in Texas, we call it Tuesday.
Yeah, three different
fire ants.
Three different things with the you know the spreader, and so I had to you know really in a way cut the lawn. It'd be the same thing, cut the lawn three times and going back and forth. And that seems to set it off for some reason. It just, it was really bad.
Mm.
It was really bad when I woke up last night. And so, and I've had it before, but that, I was, back when I got it before, I was a little out of shape and a little heavier.
Mm.
But I actually, resistance training got me out of it, and I continue to do resistance training. But this seems to be a little bit different sciatic, or just a little, something else can set it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it has over the last couple of weeks. And so, time to take care of that so I don't. So I don't do like I do when I woke up and went, ow! Because nobody really wants to hear a talk show host do that, do they?
No, like, no, they don't.
Ow! It
yeah,
hurt.
No, they don't want to hear that.
But it's okay now.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So let's go right to it.
All right.
The president is going to declassify.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was in the FISA warrant.
Right.
And text messages between Strzok and Page and maybe other things.
Mm-hmm. Comey, text messages as well.
Right. 21 different pages on it.
Right.
Immediately, here is what Adam Schiff said.
Yeah.
He is a Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump, in a clear abuse of power, has decided to intervene a pending law enforcement investigation by ordering the selective release of materials he believes are helpful to his defense team and thinks will advance a false narrative. With respect to some of these materials, I've been previously informed by the FBI and Justice Department that they would consider their release a red line that must not be crossed as they may compromise sources and methods. This is evidently at no consequence to the president, who cares nothing about the country and everything about his narrow self-interest. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that's the opposition claim, which is fine. There's always an opposition. Let's go through what he said point by point.
All right.
President Trump, in a clear abuse of power, has decided to intervene a pending law enforcement investigation by ordering a selective release of materials he believes are helpful to his defense team and thinks will advance a false narrative. All of that is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it. It's not truthful.
Right.
How is it a clear abuse of power?
It's not.
It's not. Explain why it's an abuse of power. You notice that Adam Schiff doesn't explain why it's abuse of power. He says he's decided to intervene a pending law enforcement investigation.
No.
No, he's not.
This has nothing to do with Mueller.
He's not investigating. He's not doing anything with Mueller's investigation is still going on.
Mm-hmm. The president doesn't know what Mueller has. No one knows what Mueller has except right. Mueller and his team.
Except Mueller. He's not intervening in the Mueller investigation.
Right.
This is a separate investigation by a different branch of government. Adam Schiff should know that because he is in that branch of government.
For all we know, Mueller could be investigating the Clinton campaign and the DNC. Right. Now, if I stand up right now, monkeys also might fly out of my backside. But we don't know.
He's decided to intervene in a pending law enforcement investigation. No, he's not intervening at all. That investigation goes on unimpeded by anything that the president has done.
He can't stop Mueller from indicting anyone.
Right. So that investigation goes on. This is another investigation by a separate branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
This is the legislature to give a lesson. And we know, since the vast majority of Americans do not understand the separation of powers, cannot tell you what the three branches of government are.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea what the separation of powers is. They don't understand that there is an executive branch, which is the president.
Yep.
There is the legislative branch, which is Congress, the Senate and the House, and there is a judicial branch, the Supreme Court of the United States.
That's right.
See? Now you know what, and we know our listeners knew it already, but you now know what 75% of Americans do not know. Think about that. And it's very simple. The executive branch in the Department of Justice, the law enforcement, is doing one investigation. That's Mueller. But the accusation from the other side, which is, because remember, it was the Democrats who were claiming it was the Democrats. Well, it's political. Yeah, it's all political. So let's go through the politics of it.
Sure.
Democrats claim that the president, as a candidate, colluded with the Russians to hack the election. Where did that information come from? That came from law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got the FISA warrant. They went to the FISA court and said, we believe that this campaign is colluding with the Russians to hack the election.
Mm-hmm.
So that came from law enforcement. Now the suspicion of Congress is on another branch of government that is currently doing an investigation that is under suspicion themselves. That's why we have three branches of government. Yep, the Justice Department and Mueller, they can do their investigation. The Inspector General can do his investigation. We, as a separate branch of government, and as the people's representatives, which have oversight over these departments, over the executive branch, we get to do our investigation unimpeded, too.
Mm-hmm.
We want this information from law enforcement. You wouldn't give it to us. We're now going to get it. And we're going to go to the executive branch and the president in order to do it. Trump didn't call for the declassification.
No.
Trump's been fighting the declassification. It is the members of Congress, in the majority, the Republicans, that have called into question what is going on in our law enforcement agencies in this country. They are suspicious of what they are doing. They believe that they got a bogus secret warrant.
Yep.
Democrats used to care about that. So there it is. So it's not a, you know, whether it'll advance a false narrative, I don't know.
Have no idea.
I have no idea.
What false narrative? There are things we know about this situation. We know the Hillary campaign and the DNC, through the law agency, the law firm, Perkins Coie, they paid Fusion GPS, who paid Christopher Steele, to go get information, unverified information, from people close to the Kremlin in order to derail the Trump campaign and to delegitimize the administration, the incoming administration, when he won. And they're still at it.
And then took that information to get a FISA warrant during the campaign in order to spy on the opposition campaign.
Now, by the way, we want to thank the president for waiting until we were back from vacation in order to make this announcement.
Yes.
We were afraid that would happen when we were gone, and we wouldn't be able to talk about it readily, wouldn't be here.
It's all about us.
It is all about us. So we want to thank him for that. But because we've been calling for it for a long time, along with the Republicans, to get this out, this information out. If Adam Schiff or any of the Democrats or any of the people on the left that believe the president, somebody in his administration or campaign, is guilty of colluding with the Russians, then you believe that this information, if you believe James Comey as FBI director, if you believe Peter Strzok as one of the lead agents and top agents there at the FBI, and Lisa Page were onto something, and it was something very clear. Now, keep in mind that Lisa Page testified that Mueller didn't really have anything. There really was nothing, no evidence of collusion when it was all handed over to Mueller.
And the text messages that we brought up yesterday show that.
Yes, but if you still believe that Trump and someone in his campaign and or administration is guilty of working with the Russians in order to rig the election, and that's how he won, then you believe this information is going to show that. And if it doesn't, then you should call for more declassification.
Right. And if you believe that the selective release will advance a false narrative, then since it's going to be released, you should be screaming for more transparency of information that will show that the Republicans and that the Republicans in the House Intelligence Committee are selectively releasing. And if they released everything that the FBI was doing, would show that Trump colluded with the Russians, because that's what you have said.
Mm-hmm.
You have said that Trump colluded with the Russians, Adam Schiff, and you have said you've got the evidence that he did it.
That's right.
So I'm going by what Adam Schiff himself has said since he is writing this critique.
Right.
So you should be calling for more transparency so we can learn the entire truth.
That's right.
So, yeah, if you state that, we will agree with you. Yep, more transparency is needed. Mm-hmm. If you say more transparency, Adam Schiff, we'll stand behind
you
on it.
We will stand behind you 100%.
Then he writes, I've been previously informed by the FBI and Justice Department that they would consider the release a red line that must not be crossed as they compromise sources and methods. We've heard that before from Adam Schiff. Last time, Adam Schiff, you lied to the American public on that.
That's right. We would encourage, by the way, the president and anyone, you know, that is responsible for this, getting this information out, to be very careful. And if they believe, and we have said it, work with Director Ray, Devin Nunes, and Adam Schiff in order to make sure that you can protect certain names if indeed they have nothing to do with a wrongdoing. Because the problem is the Democrats want to keep everything hidden and tell you that we can't release the names because the sources and methods will be revealed, and that puts America at danger. As you just pointed out, that's been a lie time and time again.
It's been a lie from the FBI. It's been a lie from Adam Schiff. Is anybody on the left willing to debate that? Because you can't. Because on the Republican memo that came out, that's what Adam Schiff was saying. That's what the FBI was saying. We can't let the memo come out. We can't let the memo come out.
That's right.
If we let this memo come out, sources and methods will be released. That was a lie. There were no sources and methods. Once it came out, they dropped that narrative completely.
Yep.
That was a lie. Adam Schiff continues that lie. His final thing is, this is evidently of no consequence to the president, who cares nothing about the country and everything about his narrow self-interest. Well, since your proclamation, right there, we have just shown is completely false. And we believe you know that it's false, it means, Adam Schiff, that you are lying about what is going on here.
Exactly.
Is anybody willing to say that Adam Schiff is telling the truth? Since we know he's lied already about sources and methods.
And by the way, he's the one that keeps saying that there is evidence. There is clear evidence.
He has seen the evidence.
He's seen the evidence.
So if you've seen the evidence.
Again, this is separate from any criminal investigation that Mueller is doing. So oversight can... Here's the difference. Oversight, if there's evidence that the Trump campaign worked with the Russians in order to rig and fix the election and change the outcome, then the political pressure is what is different. There, it doesn't change what Mueller does. Mueller can still indict if he finds the same evidence, which clearly there would be. But if there is evidence, and as he says it, that means Mueller has that evidence, and he'll move forward with the indictment on the legal side. The political side can move forward now with the political pressure to remove Trump from office if Adam Schiff is telling the truth. And that's a massive if.
Yeah. Well, he's right there. He's lying because it's not an abuse of power. It's not intervening in a pending law enforcement investigation. That's going on.
Right.
There's a separate investigation going on. Dealing with this with Adam Schiff is like dealing with somebody in elementary school.
Right.
He doesn't make one point. There isn't one point, one legit point, one point of substance that Adam Schiff makes here. Not one.
Right.
Everything is bogus. Everything is a lie. And he says the president cares nothing about this country when we can prove, as we just did, that everything that Adam Schiff said there is untrue,
yep.
is a lie.
Yep.
And we know he's lied before when it comes to sources and methods.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll see where it goes from here. It'll be a couple of days, they said, they think, before it's released.
Mm-hmm.
The text messages may take a little longer.
Right.
So, will be interesting to see when this all comes. I have no idea what's going to come out.
But I don't know what's in it.
But as we said months ago, we want transparency on this. The American people deserve to know what happened in the election of 2016.
We can't.
Right?
We can't change what happened. We can't go back and change what happened.
But does, I guess the question for everybody listening, do you, with all the accusations that have been thrown out on both sides, do you have a right as an American citizen to know whether 2016 was rigged or not, or whether law enforcement got a bogus warrant on the Trump campaign, on the opposition campaign running for president of the United States? Do you deserve an answer? Is really, to me, the only question.
Right.
I say yes. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, the Freightliner Team Run Smart Pros are on the road hauling freight just like you. Driver Henry Albert tells us about his Freightliner and shares advice on fuel efficiency.
I'm in a 2018 Cascadia Aero X with the 72-inch raised roof sleeper, DD15 400 downsped, 1,750 foot-pound torque at 975 RPM, attached to the Detroit DT12 automated manual transmission, followed up by the Detroit rear axles with a 2:16 rear axle ratio with ALM. They're actually controlling the amount of lube to hit the ring and pinion in the rears now.
Henry shares some advice on getting the greatest fuel efficiency out of your truck.
What the objectives of all the technology is, learning how to embrace them, and realizing that it's mainly responding to a message you're sending the truck as a driver through the throttle pedal, and it's trying to give you a reply that matches what you asked it to do. So you're in complete control of it. Probably the biggest key with this technology is to know it's not smart or stupid. It's responding to a message that you have sent it.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. If you would like to get in, we would love to talk to you. Is going to be very interesting. I saw Devin Nunes on yesterday, and he said that what he believes the people of the United States will understand is the whole Peter Strzok insurance policy that they were talking about. He was stating that last night, but it'll be interesting to see what's in all of it, because that's what we've been calling for all along, is transparency. The Democrats are not calling for transparency. And if you don't know who to believe in the argument, I think that's where that is the side that you should come down on, is as an American citizen, when Congress says we need to find out what went on in our law enforcement agencies, you should be for that. You should be for transparency to find out what happened in the 2016 election.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
A show for everyone, including those living in a delusional world. Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. Drivers, make your way to Road Ranger in St. Robert, Missouri, this Saturday, September 22nd. Our friends at Tough Tested are going to have their power sled and are going to be there, and they're going to be hosting an all-day event. In fact, our friends George and Wendy Parker, who are driving the power sled all around the country, are going to be there, of course. And you can take in the sights of the tough-tested power sled built by the team at Four State Trucks, a.k.a. the Chrome Shop Mafia. And, of course, the cool rat cart, this mini rat rod, is just a really... Pupzilla is what they call it. You've got to check out this car, man. It is really cool on the back of this power sled by Tough Tested. They're going to have product demos from Tough Tested. And they're going to have giveaways and Tough Bucks to redeem in store, in fact. So Road Ranger is the place you want to be in St. Robert, Missouri. That is St. Robert, Missouri, coming up this Saturday, September 22nd. That's on Highway 28 there in St. Robert. So thank you, Tough Tested, for all the great stuff that you allow us to give away at great events. And make sure you go out there this Saturday. It's going to be really, really cool. It's a cool truck.
866-90-RED-EYE. Let's head to you. We go to Kevin in York, Pennsylvania. Kevin, welcome on the president saying he's going to declassify Russian collusion classified information. Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Eric. Another guy, Gary. How you guys doing?
Very good.
You guys are back.
Thanks.
I got a question because I'm like so confused. All right, help me out. If Trump is guilty of collusion, he risks a chance of impeachment. But if Obama and his administration are guilty of what we think they did, they're just going to deny it. Nothing's going to happen. You know, I was thinking about running once I reached 50 years old. I was thinking about running for local or state politics. But I know I ain't going to be able to do it, Gary, because, one, back, you know I grew up in Philly, so I'm very conservative. I grew up a block and a half from Osage Avenue, where Ed Rendell, quick draw Ed Rendell, and Democrat Mayor Wilson Good bombed the MOVE members, destroyed the neighborhood, and it wasn't even allowed to be talked about during debates, the governor debates. And I know I would never win any election because I know one female somewhere in some neighborhood going to say, no, don't elect him. He called me a gold digger. He called me a bougie hoe. He called me a chicken head. He called me a hood rat.
Well,
it's getting ridiculous.
Right. But when it comes to, I want to keep on one topic here at a time, because
thanks,
it seems like you're moving over to the Kavanaugh thing of accusations. But when it comes to if Trump, again, colluded with the Russians to hack the election, you know, you would have a specific crime there, and that would be, you know, committing election fraud,
right?
And maybe conspiracy with a foreign government if there's such a law to hack the election machines. But as we have stated before, and you know, as Giuliani has said, he believes that the affidavits to verify that the information for the FISA warrant was legit intelligence. That if there's affidavits, that's the accusation from the other side, from the Trump's lawyers, is that somebody in the FBI, whoever signed not just the FISA warrant, but signed the affidavit that the information contained in the application was actually legit and they knew it wasn't, at that point, that would be perjury.
Right.
So you're seeing perjury. As for the unmasking, again, we don't know. We haven't been able to connect the dots as to what was listened to in the unmasking, what would be considered illegal. But you can prove it across the board. If the information comes out and you find that an FBI agent or somebody in the top echelon of the FBI did commit perjury, if they did sign the affidavit stating that the evidence that they were using was legit intelligence, knowing that it was not intelligence, but it was, you know, what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they claimed it was verified and it wasn't verified. Well, then at that point, that would be perjury. So, again, can't say that only one side's going to be prosecuted and the other side will not be, because we don't know. We haven't gotten to that point.
Well, and we, you know, had the same discussion with the Hillary situation. With the email server and all of that, and, you know, Comey basically giving her the walk on that. And we said, look, what matters, while we don't believe no one is above the law and she should be prosecuted, because I believe any reasonable prosecutor would pursue that. But ultimately, we, the American people, had a response to that in front of us. And that was Election Day on 2016. And so when it comes to whatever happens as a result of follow-up, let's just say that that this information, declassifying this information, at some point leads to showing that the former administration knowingly used bogus information in order to petition the FISA courts for a warrant, and they got it and were able to spy on the political opposition. That is a massive abuse of power. And while the media may try and ignore it, at some point someone will have to do the story on it. But the most important part is the American people will know it. They may assign a special prosecutor to it. The Justice Department may take it up. We don't know what will happen. But what we do know is that the American people will know the truth. That's where it all begins. Nothing will happen before then.
And, yeah, to the last caller, Kevin, you jumped to a second point when we haven't gotten to the first point yet.
Right.
Which is, we don't know the full truth, and that's what we want. And it's interesting that you just brought that up, Eric, because I had a very interesting experience when I was on vacation.
Mm.
And I told the story before I was on vacation, and everybody knows it started in Pittsburgh in the Catholic Church and the diocese and the number of priests there. And then it moved to Buffalo and the Buffalo Diocese. Mm-hmm. Up there, and ground zero of it is my parents' parish,
right?
It just all blew up when they found out that the pastor, and I was at the church service back July 4th when I was back to visit my parents. I was with my parents at the church when the pastor resigned, or excuse me, he retired and said he was going to retire and be out by Labor Day. Mm-hmm. We found out the reason that he was retiring was accusations against him and adult males of inappropriate contact. And then when it came out probably about 3 weeks ago, then it came out that there's an accusation that he was with a minor.
Right.
And at that point, he had to immediately resign. Well, I was at, when I was just back last week, went back there, and there's a call for the bishop in Buffalo, because it started with just a dozen priests. Then it went up to 20 something, then 30. Now it's 70 different priests.
Hmm.
And the claim is that the bishop has kept this hidden. Even though the bishop wasn't around when a lot of these things happened, he helped to keep it hidden. And therefore, there's the call for the bishop of Buffalo, the Buffalo Diocese, now to step down, to resign. Well, when I went to the church service a week ago Sunday with my parents, went to church on Sunday, When we came in, you know, we were told that, you know, beginning of the announcements, that there's a letter from the bishop where the bishop said he wasn't going to resign. And then you had one of the deacons of the church. Now, a deacon, in case people don't know, in the Catholic Church is somebody who's not a priest but can help in church services but is not a priest. But this deacon who's been there for a while has sort of become the non-religious leader of the Buffalo diocese, at least in my opinion. And again, I'm pretty far away from ground zero of it going on. But he got up there and spoke and said, and it was the first time I've ever been in a Catholic church ever that anything close to political outside of the scripture was brought up. And it was him up there saying, I'm the one that believes that he should resign, the bishop. The bishop's letter's there. I am here to respond to it. We need complete transparency and openness. And then he said something that related to what you just said there and what we say on the show all the time. The number one thing that we look for is the truth. And that's what he said. He said, look, I'm not saying you should agree with me. I believe he should resign. What I'm telling you is to go and do the research yourself. Find out the evidence. Find out the truth. Find out the truth. Find out the truth. We can't get anywhere unless we find out the truth. And I thought about how that relates so much to what we do here on the air, where people are calling and say, well, nobody's going to go to jail. We don't know what the truth is yet. First, get the truth. The only thing, and that's what we do here, we believe that putting out the message that all of us should search for the truth in everything that's going on, mm-hmm. whether it's Russian collusion, whether it's the Iran deal, whether it's anything that's going on in government, that we should always be searching for the truth, that the truth should be more important than our everyday politics, yeah. that the system is more important than the infrastructure, that the Constitution, that the infrastructure created, the government infrastructure of the Constitution created, that's in Washington, D.C., that we should always search for the truth. We now have a media that doesn't believe that.
Right.
Look, I've got my political biases, without question. And I've got the things that I want done. I want a smaller federal government. I want fewer taxes. I want less spending. If you're going to have more spending in government, it should be closer to the people. It should be the state, and it should be local governments. Those are my beliefs. There are long-held beliefs that go all the way back to a significant portion of the Founding Fathers. Not all of them, but a significant portion of the Founding Fathers. And you and I fight for that all the time. Mm-hmm. But more important is the truth of what's going on. And if there is corruption, if there's corruption in government, if there's corruption in law enforcement, what really galls me is, maybe that's too strong of a word because I've come to expect the hypocrisy of the left.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. Here's a point. I'll make it the statement that way. Here's a point. Democrats claim they care about law enforcement enforcing the law. They care about law enforcement treating everybody equally. And when it comes to the federal government, they could care less if there's corruption as long as it fits their political narrative. Well, we don't. And that's why for months we've been every single day inviting Democrats to join us for full transparency of what went on in the 2016 election. Zero response. None. They don't want any part of it. All they want is to get their free stuff. However they can get their free stuff, who is damaged along the way, what lies are told, doesn't matter to them. Just give me my free stuff.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, we can't make people care about certain things. We can't make other Americans care about certain things. The only thing we can do is, for those of us who do care, seek the truth.
Yep.
The facts of what has happened in the past will not change.
Seek the truth. They don't want the truth.
Nope.
Adam Schiff mm-hmm. doesn't want the truth. He doesn't want the truth to come out. Otherwise, he would be talking about not just more transparency, but a lot more transparency. He wouldn't yep. be getting caught in lies, stating, as he did with the Republican memo, if it was released, people's lives would be at stake.
Yeah.
It was a lie.
Yep. Plain and simple.
And as we've explained it all the way across the board, You can look at it from two points of view. You can look at it and say, well, we should find out whether Trump did something. Well, we should find out whether Obama and the Hillary campaign did something and the FBI did something. We should find it out. We have a right to know. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, I'm done with my ranting.
I'm
done getting too emotional about it because, you know, it's what does the American public want? Does the American public actually want to know what happened?
Well, and how many people care? Look, the truth, again, has to be found out. When we went through the whole Benghazi thing, there was no promise or even threat, I guess, depending on which side you're on, of Hillary Clinton being prosecuted for Benghazi. It was about lying. But the people deserved to know the truth about what happened in Benghazi. September 11, 2012 was a tragedy because our government failed Americans who were trying to protect other Americans. And so when you look at that situation, and you, or any political situation, whether it's Benghazi, whether it is the situation that's going on now, the potential for, because this rises to something in potentially criminal in nature, either way it goes. So the American people deserve to know the truth, and I believe at some point there will be the political will to pursue the justice. And we'll, I could be wrong on that, but we're going in the right direction. This is a massive step in the right direction.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let me see in another 24 minutes. I need to just leave.
Yeah, halfway through. That's what people in Buffalo do. They quit at halftime.
I'm going to quit. I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So at 2:30, halfway through the show.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You know, I just get a kick out. I get a kick out of it. I know that they had football players, you know, NFL players going crazy.
Right. Right.
Yesterday at the whole thing, standing, you just don't. You don't do that. You don't walk out in the middle of a game.
No.
I just thought with all the suffering that Bills fans have done and the fact that there's really not a lot of hope that this season is going anywhere and a lot of question as to whether the new management that they put in a couple of years ago was the right management. A lot of people are starting to doubt it. And some of the memes and the parodies that were out yesterday saying, I can't play for this team. I quit. I just leave. There is a certain humor in it, almost as much as the humor when Cleveland tied last week, and the meme came out that the Browns' winless streak has been snapped, not with the win, but with a tie.
Yeah, in true Browns fashion.
There's nothing more Cleveland Brown than that.
Exactly. Yeah.
and so you know, I got a great chuckle out of it. But you know, as we've talked about the NFL and the protest and everything else, you know, you and I, you know, we don't watch anymore. I don't subscribe to the Sunday Ticket anymore. I don't pay. I don't buy merchandise. That's my personal choice. I'm not angry at anybody else who does.
No.
Story came out yesterday, you know, we had mentioned on yesterday's show that it, you know, had come out that The stock had gone back up for Nike, and they were selling more shoes, and therefore the other side was wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, the other side still isn't wrong, and we went through it again. When you go through it, as we just did last hour with the whole Adam Schiff thing, we went through point by point by point.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through and actually know, the problem is when we deal with a majority of the country that is ignorant, which means they don't know the facts of a particular issue, mm-hmm. it's no wonder people are attracted to slogans or memes or whatever
to defend
their position. But as mm-hmm. we said yesterday, this it doesn't change what Nike is doing. As we said early on, we don't know what the response is going to be to Nike shoes and whatever. But if they increase in price, we will now know that the culture war is now mainstreamed to the point that one side, that a company actually believes that the demonization of all cops, that the hatred of law enforcement and the hatred of cops is now mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good thing.
No.
But it will show that it does exist to the point where a company will say, all right, let's find a guy who's a cop hater, because this has got nothing to do with racism. He lost it with the pig socks,
mm-hmm.
with the cop pig socks. He lost it. And we went through point by point what Colin Kaepernick did. We went through point by point a year ago what happened with Michael Bennett and him lying about the Las Vegas police, and he was a catalyst for year two
right.
for the whole thing blowing up again. And so what you're dealing with is people that hate cops. Let's get down to it. I mean, and we're blunt. That's what it is. And so that message and what they're doing, the truth doesn't change just because some people wish to be cop haters and wish to be part of that movement in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That truth doesn't change because sales goes up. In fact, all it does is make the evidence greater that that is part of the culture war that we're dealing with.
Right.
We're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. NFL ratings for the Dallas game last night, mm-hmm. up drastically.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good ratings. And I wanted to mention this because I told you off the air, I think a couple of times we had the discussion, that when I was on vacation, I started, you know, when the NFL season kicking off, and I started thinking, okay, all the people that I know, and I just looked at, you know, all the my friends and extended friends that I know, and I know where their politics are. And I roughly got up to about 100 different people that I know that are Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
How many have abandoned the NFL? How many have said, nope, not going to support them anymore mm-hmm. because of the position they take? And not that they're mad at it. They're just simply said, no, I'm not going to choose. They're not the type of people that are out railing. But out of the 100 Trump supporters, and I know they're all Trump supporters. Now some are passionate Trump supporters. Some are, okay, worst of two evils, but the Democrats are crazy, so I'm going to support Trump. And
or better of two evils, yeah.
When I say the worst of two evils?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the better of two evils. Freudian slip? No, it was not. but the better of two evils, and hey, mm. you know something?
Mm.
He's done a lot better. When I was on the golf course the other day, it took about five or six holes before people started asking, what do you do for a living? It's like, oh, no, golf game shot. There are people I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got into a great discussion, and all of them really the same as almost everybody that I've met. And one gentleman who I was talking to said, he said, you know, I heard you talking, you know, to the other guy, and he said, you're exactly right. So I was telling the other guy, I said, yeah, you know, I said, I gave Trump a B in his first year. And I said, he surpassed my expectations, and I don't give B's. I've never given a B, in the first year to any president at all. And a guy heard me say that. He said, you know, I didn't like him. I was a Cruz guy. He said, but he's done a lot of good. He goes, but you're right. The Democrats are just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so I have no choice but to support him. But he's actually surprised me, you know, in some ways. But of all the people that I, around 100 that I know, how many do I know have said no to the NFL? Only 4. So the majority of Trump supporters that I know, and in conversations with some of them, not challenging them, not saying, well, you're not really a Trump supporter, just asking them, they're all conflicted. Every single one of them is conflicted that yeah. I've talked to. I haven't talked to all roughly 100 of them. Probably I've talked to 5 or 6 of them. but everybody I've talked to is conflicted. It's like, yeah. And everyone that has asked me about my position, once I explain it, they went, eh, it really makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But they've chosen not to. And we said from the very beginning, we're not going to demonize anybody who chooses to watch the NFL. Everybody chooses the things that they wish to do in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not angry at the NFL. I just look at it and go, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going to support it. And am I angry at Colin Kaepernick at Nike? Well, not really. I mean, they can do whatever they want. I don't agree with it. I vehemently disagree with their marketing strategy and their demonization of a group as a whole. What they're doing is immoral. To say all cops, to make the point that all cops are evil, is like saying all blacks are bad or all whites are bad. There is no difference. You're demonizing an entire group of people, and as Michael Bennett did last year, lied about an entire group of people. The fact that the Dallas Cowboys game brought in the Giants, and the Giants, yeah, the Giants were a part of that game too, even though that they were, you know, the ratings went up, doesn't change the truth. More people may want to ignore it or say that, well, no, it's about this. As you hear all the, I mean, I still hear it. Well, I support Colin Kaepernick's free speech rights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're an idiot because you don't have a clue as to what's going on. But your opinion is based on something that's completely false. So none of it changes anything. Because I was expecting when I saw the ratings were up that somebody would send me, see, the ratings run, the NFL are up, you're wrong. I'm not wrong on the truth. The truth doesn't change because some people decide to do something. The truth of what has kicked this all off, the truth of what Colin Kaepernick believes, the truth of Michael Bennett being the catalyst because he lied about cops, none of that truth has changed at all. The fact that it's immoral for Nike in a marketing campaign to promote a person who has indicted all cops as being evil, that truth doesn't change because more sneakers are sold.
No, that's people taking a side when, and we've seen that. People take sides all the time. You had Jennifer Lewis, an actress, on the Emmys today, and tonight I saw the story where she was wearing a Nike shirt. She was making a political statement with a Nike T-shirt.
Right.
That's what Nike decided to do. They were making a political statement as a company. People will react to political statements.
And so, I mean, I still pay attention to what's going on. I'll read about it. I'm not going to support with my money what they do, which is why, again, I was supporting them with my money because I bought the NFL ticket, Sunday ticket.
Right.
And I would buy merchandise and things like that, and that has stopped. I still pay attention to what's going on. I wish them the best, even though that's impossible for the team that I've rooted for the last 60 years.
Yeah, well, why start now?
That's not good. And you're right. If there was ever a couple of years for me to choose to back out of it,
this would be it. Yes. Right. Well, let's face it. You know, you had one player quit at halftime. Well, the organization quit years ago. They're not even trying. At least he gave it a full halftime.
Well, at least, look, the Bills aren't worried about kneeling before the game. They're worried about their players leaving.
That's
before
right.
The game is over.
Right. They're not kneeling. They're laying down. Let's face it. Let's face it. For the entire game, they're laying down. They would be better off laying down. Fewer injuries. And it would not change the score at all. Lay down.
So
take a nap.
I wanted to bring that up because you had said last hour, and I'm so glad you did, when you brought up the truth, that any of this, what we search for more... The number one thing that we look for on the show, before we talk about forms of government, before we talk about economics, what is the truth?
Right.
What's the truth? And I find that a lot of people don't care about it. The Kavanaugh thing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How many people on the left have said, I believe her.
Right.
You believe it was Kavanaugh? There's no evidence to that. Right. Same thing we went through on Trayvon Martin. Same thing that we, you and I went through the night of the Sarnioff brothers when we were getting bashed. I mean, we were really getting bashed because there were two names out there that we couldn't verify were the names. And they were Middle Eastern names. And we were just getting, and we had come on the air and said, look, we're being bashed by people who are saying we're hiding the news. We're not hiding anything. We have, there is no evidence. We don't have a reputable source that these are the two people.
Right.
And so we're not going to say it because we don't care about being first. We do care about being right.
Right.
Being first with wrong information to us is not a trophy worthy.
Well, remember Brian Ross, ABC News. Remember when the Aurora, Colorado shootings happened and they identified the shooter, and then he came on the television on Good Morning America. He came on to say, well, there is someone with this name that is associated with a Tea Party. And it turned out it was not the same person.
Yeah.
That's that. Right. Well, remember the whole Zimmerman thing, giving out the address of a different Zimmerman family.
Yep. And with the Sarnioff brothers, the Boston bombing, well, we found out that the names that were floating all over the internet
all night long were wrong.
Right. I remember we found it out after we got home.
Right.
I remember getting home and seeing the emails. You guys, you don't tell the truth. Well, it ended up being wrong. And where were those people the next day? They disappeared.
Yep.
And so to us, we care about, you know, we care about, and I believe that America should care about the truth first before you can get anywhere. Before you get to prosecution, before you can get to justice being done, the American public, and we started this talking about the whole Russian collusion thing and Adam Schiff and the Democrats' response, they don't want the truth. We believe both parties should want the truth. They don't want the truth.
Because if you, if we're looking at a massive abuse of power by the former administration, it, you and I always include the possibility that the American people, in learning that, will do nothing about it. There will be no political will to do anything about it. We understand how the media will try and react or twist it or not report it, ignore it, bury it. We understand all those things are in play. It doesn't change our desire to seek the truth, ever.
If you want to get in, we'll be talking about the whole Kavanaugh allegations now. By the way, I, you know, they're going to testify before Congress. I'm assuming both are going to be on TV. I believe that process is wrong. I think that an allegation in itself, unsubstantiated, that gets you a television, you know, nationwide TV to promote something that you can't prove.
Right.
I go along with a lot of other people that said that's something that should be done and the investigation should be done in private. It should have started way back in July.
Right.
And it should be something that is done behind the scenes. The interview should be done behind the scenes and move on unless there's a criminal charge.
Right. Sure. No, I'm with you on that.
But you destroy people's lives with an allegation that, and this is going, from what we know right now, this is going nowhere. It's going to be he said, she said. Nobody will learn anything.
Right. You assign credibility to it by airing it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Trump nominates. The left is always going to say that it's the wrong person. They're never going to admit that anybody that Trump nominates is going to be the right person.
Well, yeah, especially when you have the record as a Kavanaugh does or a Gorsuch has.
Right.
Because this isn't really about Kavanaugh.
No.
It's about Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
That's what it's actually about.
Mm-hmm.
Got nothing to do with Kavanaugh and the assault, the alleged assault allegation.
Nope.
Not about that at all. It's finding anything to attempt to derail, change a vote, delay the vote. Hopefully the Democrats winning the Senate, they don't want another even close to constructionist judge or originalist judge on the Supreme Court.
Nope. No, they do not. And while you would, I guess,
it's got nothing to do
logic
with,
would,
by the way, nothing to do with Trump.
No, logic would dictate that they would know this is the inevitable, right? They would know that there is no really stopping, you know, him eventually from seating someone, except for what has changed. The protester on the left is alive and well in everyone who sits on Capitol Hill on the left. So they can do this for as long as they want, as long as the media allows them to get away with it. For Video Road Log, here's your forecast.
Most of our professional drivers and truckers know that we have major road concerns in terms of flooding and closures in portions of the Mid-Atlantic. If you're a motorist not often through the Carolinas, do remember I-40 from Raleigh southeast, I-95, I-85 north and south, you could run into road closures. And on most state roads in North Carolina and South Carolina in the Lowcountry, you will run into road closures due to flooding. Rains continued today from the remnants of Florence, mainly on the western side of the Appalachians and the Great Smokies. That system, as it remains, will be moving up through West Virginia, portions of southwest and northern Virginia into D.C., and then Jersey and New York City. And with the exception of some light rain from Des Moines to Milwaukee today, most of the country will remain dry. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
And Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Wall Street Journal said it all. The hashtag MeToo Kavanaugh ambush. Mr. Kavanaugh denies all this categorically. There is simply no way to prove it. The only witness to the event is Mr. Kavanaugh's high school male friend, Mark Judge, who also says he recalls no such event. Ms. Ford concedes she told no one about it, not even a high school girlfriend or a family member until 2012, when she told the story as part of a couple's therapy with her husband. The vagaries of memories are well known, all the more so when they emerge in the cauldron of therapy sessions to rescue a marriage. Experts know that human beings can come to believe firmly over the years that something happened when it never did, or based it on a partial truth. Mistaken identity is also possible. The Post reports that the therapist's notes from 2012 say there were four male assailants, but Ms. Ford says that was a mistake. Ms. Ford also cannot recall in whose home the alleged assault took place, how she got there, or how she got home that evening. This is simply too distant and uncooperative a story to warrant a new hearing or to delay the vote. We've heard from all three principals, and there are no other witnesses to call. Democrats will use Monday's hearing as a political spectacle to coax Mr. Kavanaugh into looking defensive or angry and to portray Republicans as anti-women. Odds are it will be a circus. The timing and details of how Ms. Ford came forward and how her name was coaxed into public view should also raise red flags about the partisan motives at play. The Post said Ms. Ford contacted the paper via a tip line in July, but wanted to remain anonymous. She then brought her story to a Democratic official while still hoping to stay anonymous. Yet, she also then retained a lawyer, Deborah Katz, who was a history of Democratic activism and spoke in public defense of Bill Clinton against the accusations of Paula Jones. Ms. Katz urged Ms. Ford to take a polygraph test, The Post says she passed the polygraph, though a polygraph merely shows that she believes the story she is telling. The more relevant question is, why go to such lengths if Ms. Ford really wanted her name to stay a secret? Even this weekend, she could have chosen to remain anonymous. These are the actions of someone who was prepared to go public from the beginning if she had to. The role of Senator Dianne Feinstein is also highly irregular and transparently political. The ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee knew about Ms. Ford's accusations in late July or early August and yet kept quiet. If she took it seriously, she had multiple opportunities to ask Judge Kavanaugh or have committee staff interview all the principals without making it a public spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
But in the event, the details would have been vetted and senators would have had time to assess their credibility. Instead, Ms. Feinstein waited until the day before the committee markup on the nomination to release a statement that she had information about the accusation and had sent it to the FBI. Her statement was a political stunt. She was seeking to insulate herself from the liberal charges that she sat on the letter, or, and this seems increasingly likely given the course of events, Senator Feinstein was holding the story to spring at the last minute in the hopes the events would play out as they have. Surely she knew that once word of the accusation became public, the press would pursue the story and Ms. Ford would be identified by name one way or another.
Hmm.
Democrats waited until Ms. Ford went public to make public statements, but clearly some were feeding the names of Ms. Ford and her lawyer to the press, and now they are piling on what they hope will be an election eve, hashtag Me Too, event. So there you go. And as I said earlier, I believe that's what should have happened. You get an accusation like this, and you say, okay, what are the parties? What's the accusation? You do it. But now it's going to become a TV spectacle. That's what the Democrats want. They want them to be on the offensive. And now we will see that any Republican president who wishes to put in a nominee for the Supreme Court, they know now, especially if this is effective, this will be our policy of what we will do from now on.
Well, they believe they want it with Roy Moore. They believe that this is going to win it for them. They believe it will win it for them, you know, for the foreseeable future. Oh, never mind Bill Clinton. Never mind all of those on the left that are guilty of and have been guilty of this kind of behavior in the past. Never mind them. No. Let's keep our focus. The scenario that is in front of us right now and that will be on full display on Monday is that you can't prove or disprove anything. So the only thing, each side has just as much credibility, but who will get all of their water carried by the media? The left. The screaming of, you are a horrible person. I believe her. I don't believe you. You, Mr. Kavanaugh, are a disgrace and should not ever wear a judge's robe ever again.
Let's see how close that the Democrats get to that.
I think they will get very close to that from your Cory Bookers and everyone else that's sitting up there in order to what? To facilitate their circus. It was going to be a circus anyway. It was a circus the first couple of days. We saw it. We knew it. The whole fake outrage, the whole near walkout, trying to delay the vote, all of that was planned, calculated, based on what? Nothing. What about all those documents? We need time to review these documents. Well, that went away. That didn't work. And I don't know that this will work. This may backfire for the left, but the media will carry it on, and they will carry it through for a couple of days, and we'll see where the vote goes on this. I don't know if it will be enough, all of this will be enough to change the vote of a Murkowski, Collins, or Jeff Flake, or anyone else. I don't know.
Or whether it gets, makes them to the realization that, you know, we're better off sticking with our party and even with Trump than sticking to the insanity of what we're getting from the left, which is, as I said, pure insanity. If you think on issues, you name it, everything you're dealing. Look, for as much as they call Donald Trump childish. Come on.
Right. Yeah.
For all the accusations against Donald Trump, as we have said, you can sit there and you can look at Trump at times and say, look, stop it. You're being childish.
Mm-hmm.
And just when you sit there and you look at Trump and you say, stop being childish, the Democrats go, hold my beer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go one further. Let's take it further. Let's be absolutely and completely and totally insane. And that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah, and it's that's not going to change, and they know the louder they get, and that the media will help them with their fake outrage. None of them can prove or disprove anything, but they don't have to, and they know that.
Well, that's the whole point. This is not a trial. It's not a public trial where you're going to find out anything. And this is why I believe that, look, any allegation for anything like this, the committee should see, and all the parties should be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just an allegation that's completely uncorroborated. You cannot get. You don't have in the situation any witnesses. And the only witness, the only supposed witness said, this never happened.
Right.
Never happened. Don't remember any incident. You've got now girlfriends of the judge from high school saying, we don't remember any kind of party like this. A pool house near a club? We have no idea what she's taught. There was no pool house near a club. And the more you hear this, the more it's like, wait a minute, you can't identify the house, the club. I'm telling you right now, I'm thinking of the high school parties that I went to, and I would have been a senior in high school,
mm-hmm.
where probably I went to five or six parties that year. I really don't remember much of it. I remember there was underage drinking. At the house. Now, underage, we were closer at that time. It was 18. But we were seven, you know, probably at that time too. I don't know if that was the case for that. But I can tell you the houses they were at, or I could tell you the streets of where they were on.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember because there weren't that many parties. You know, and when you had a party like that, there was drink. That's something that you remember. And I could remember the neighborhood and, remember the house, the way the house was. May not be able to tell you the addresses, but I could tell you the neighborhood. And if there was a pool and it was a pool party, and it was near a club, and I'm able to identify it. Oh, it was near the club, the pool house near the club. What does that mean? You should be able to identify in any neighborhood in any 10 block area. You should be able to identify precisely what that is, right?
Well, and I'm thinking also if there was something as traumatic as that would stick. And the memory that she believes was abuse, it says was abuse, and was and rose to the point of an assault, that many of those details would be in play. So she's remembering small details, but not the major details. And I'm no psychologist, but that seems odd to me.
But it's not a court of law or a trial where you're going to come to a conclusion of guilty or innocent.
And they don't have to. And this is why the Democrats know they don't have to. All they have to do is say they believe her. They can't prove or disprove anything. They don't have to. They get one more day of circus because it's one more glimmer of hope. They can stop Kavanaugh from being seated before October session begins.
And they're going to try to bait him.
Oh, yeah.
As you just said,
sure.
they're going to make the accusation.
Mm-hmm.
You are unfit because, I wouldn't be surprised, you're unfit because you attempted to rape a woman.
Mm-hmm.
With just the allegation there, without any cooperation or anything.
Right.
Woman comes out of the blue, boom, we believe her, you're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to get from them.
Right.
I already saw a guest on MSNBC saying, oh, I believe her without question.
Oh, sure.
Based on what?
Yeah. And that's all they have to say. I believe her.
Right. And you see it on social media now from the left. Oh,
sure.
I believe her.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. And for anyone who may need a reminder, false accusations have been around for a long, long time, especially in politics.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, you know, I was just thinking, because we've been talking about the Kavanaugh thing and also about President Trump going to declassify, some of the classified information of the FISA warrant application and other texts that were sent between Strzok and Page and texts of Comey. And I started thinking that, Adam Schiff talking about the fact that, you know, he has seen evidence of collusion, and so he should want more transparency. I'd like to see Bob Woodward talk to Adam Schiff.
Oh, yeah.
Since Bob Woodward said, you know, in the all the research he did for the book, and mm-hmm. he looked deep and hard for collusion, couldn't find it anywhere from anybody within the Trump administration.
Right.
So,
and
Schiff's,
you would think that anyone would be willing to talk to or leak it to a Bob Woodward, right? Because he gets that credibility. If you're talking to Bob Woodward, if you know somebody can get something out that were really, I mean, part of a story that would really go somewhere, even to the level of a book, I mean, it would rise to that kind of level, then it would be Bob Woodward. So if there was something to leak, he would have gotten it. You talk about somebody who's connected, it's Bob Woodward. And then you look at the...
And believe me, he would have loved to write a book where he could have been the one to break.
Yeah.
Since he's been involved in doing that before.
Right.
He would have loved to have been, for people who don't know, for people who may be under 50 years of age,
mm-hmm.
he did break the Watergate scandal. So.
Right, right. And then learned about Lisa Page's testimony. And all of this combined, nothing. No proof of collusion. They can't find anything. So I'm with you. Adam Schiff should be talking to Bob Woodward.
Right. Talk to Bob Woodward.
Yeah, he'll get it out for you.
Right. Well, I'm assuming that he wanted to. I wonder if Woodward talked to Schiff in order to find information, because Schiff keeps saying that he has seen the evidence of collusion.
Right.
That had to be the first place that Woodward would have to go, correct?
I would think so.
I wonder if they did talk.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.